Andy, tell me what inspired you? Why did you decide you wanted to run for mayor?
It's a long story. I first got involved in local politics when I joined the RSO, our campus, Young Democratic Socialists there. I met, the local activists and organizers. And then I slowly, been involved in local issues since, like a campaign for rent control. And then, more recently, the utility shut off camp, the mortuary utility shut off, and then the mortuarium on evictions, and that's, the local activists, like a bunch of us, started to, the local elections were here, and we decided, like, as a slate, a bunch of us were going to run for all these offices that, haven't been challenged for in a long time.
So, were there others besides you running for office?
Yes, like we have a, I think a slate, and and we recently had these People City Council event, and where we gather together and talk about the issues and show that like there's support for various issues like ending homelessness and defunding the police. And there's like in Urbana, like every ward has a challenger, and in Champaign, there's Rita Connolly and Justin Michael Hendricks in Champaign.
Did you also run? I'm not quite sure if I understood it clearly or not. Did you run for a Democratic precinct committee post as well?
Yep. Back then during the primary, yep, I did run for a precinct committee person and won that election, beating the another person. It was actually competitive.
So, are you a precinct committee person now?
Yes.
Do you know which precinct it is?
Cunningham too.
Cunningham 2. Okay. Have you been doing any political activity in connection with that post?
Yeah, well, we just basically attend a meeting each month. It's been online for now, where we get updates on what's been happening in the local party, and and you might like bring update the local party on what's been happening. Like I've updated the local party on local campaigns, such as the mortuary on evictions and utilities shut off.
Well, why don't we go to that issue? And is that the moratorium issue on evictions and utility shutoffs? Is that one of the things that as mayor of Urbana you would be working on? And how would you go about it?
Yeah, I would basically do everything, like speak up as soon as possible against for a moratorium, and use every like resource possible to persuade the utility companies and landlords to for a mortuarium. Like the I think like the mayor's office has a lot of influence, and if the mayor's office like supports it from the like gave their full support, it will make lend a lot of influence for the campaign.
Tell me about police issues, because I saw that coming up in your Facebook page as well, about supporting the funding of the police. I wonder if you could talk about that and what that means for you.
For me, I think like Urbana's police has we've put a lot of resources in Urbana's police. Like about 30% of our city's discretionary budget is put in the police, and and I think like it would be better to use those resources on social programs that are alternative social programs that like actually work. I think, you know, by the time the police are called, it's too late for a lot of people, and it's better to deal with these issues early on, meet people's needs like early on. And the police, you know, has been like been taking up a lot of our city's resources, and it hasn't really made our city safer. Like, there has been cases of police brutality in Urbana, which shows that police brutality does exist in Urbana.
Are you thinking of the Alea Lewis arrest?
That's like my main example. Yeah, that's when I think about a blatant example of police brutality.
Now, I'm thinking of that example in terms of the consulting group that was called in to review the case and found that police followed the policy, at least the policy that the department has now in terms of use of force. What did you think when you heard about that, and how would you want to address that sort of issue as mayor?
Okay, when considering about police board, it's really important to consider who's doing the appointing for the people on the police board and who are being appointed. You know, in a lot of these police boards, a lot of times, you know, these people have connections with the police, and it is just like the mayor doing the appointing without a lot of other, you know, input from the community. So I think police boards can work, but they have to be, you know, be democratic and based in the community, and you have to consider who's doing the appointing and who's being appointed.
So are you talking about the Civilian Police Review Board?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the outside consulting firm that was called in to review the Alea Lewis arrest. But that does bring up...
And it's like the same issue. Mm-hmm. It does face the same issue, like the outside consultants. Who are you bringing in to consult? Who's bringing in the consultants, and what are their connections with, you know, our law enforcement? And can they make a like a fair and unbiased judgment?
In terms of the Civilian Police Review Board, what do you think of its performance for the city, and what would you do as far as it? Would you be, as you seem to suggest from earlier, appointing different people to that board?
You know, I would try to, you know, make it more democratic, like make sure the community has more input on who gets appointed to these board, and, you know, make sure like we actually promote the police board. Like, turnout has been pretty bad for these, you know, Civilian Police Board review. So I like to do what I can to make sure the community is able to participate in these review boards.
I'm wondering, with the COVID-19 pandemic putting such a limit on people's activities, how have you been campaigning over these past few months?
You know, social media has been pretty important for our campaigns, like my campaign and the rest of the people, you know, the activist campaigns, you know. So mostly I've been, you know, Facebook is a really great resource to like get directly in touch with people, and, you know, Facebook group where we offer like our advice and like support.
You feel you're able to reach a lot of people that way?
Yeah, like without social media, we wouldn't be able to like directly reach people, you know. So it's been really useful to reaching out, you know, everybody, you know, like in Urbana, and, you know, talking, starting a campaign page and talking to other, you know, candidates.
You've worked with the Democratic Socialist Group on campus. You're running as a pretty progressive candidate. How would you describe the difference between you and the two other candidates for mayor Marlin and Dennis Roberts?
I think my main difference is that I'm an outsider. I haven't been in politics for years as the other candidates, and I'm also a student. So I know like the, I have like some experience of what it's like to be a student, and students are a large part of this community. And for a long time, they have been ignored, so.
Do you think that students are a big part of the voting base? Are they become a big part of the voting base? Because the impression I've gotten is they're not the most active in local politics.
That is true, but you know, they can be like a decisive part of, you know, our voting base. Like in our last elections, like we, you know, during 2017, about as much people voted in that municipal election as voted in, you know, the student election. If we can, you know, mobilize students, that can make a really big, you know, difference in local politics.
Tell me about some of the things that you would, that you would, that you would push on if, say, you and some of the other progressive candidates for the city council were to be elected this spring.
Some of the issues are, you know, the most, definitely the most important is, you know, defunding the police and shifting those resources to other programs, and such as ending homelessness, and maybe, you know, talk about, you know, having a 100% renewable energy grid for Urbana. And
tell me, like that. Tell me a little bit about the renewable energy grid. What do you, what sort of project could make that a reality in Urbana?
I think like a 100% energy grid is like really feasible, because like in Burlington, Vermont, about a city around the size of Urbana, they shifted to a 100% energy grid using solar energy and wind energy. And I think like if Burlington, Vermont could do that, Urbana could also, you know, using like solar and wind energy to power our energy grid.
Is that possible? I don't know what, how Burlington is set up. I know that Urbana, most of the electricity here in town is provided by a private company, which may make it more of a challenge.
Yep.
Than in a town which may have municipal utilities.
Yeah, there's multiple energy companies, but I think like we could like start our own, you know, energy grid, you know, because there's so much, you know, it's just another competition.
Tell me about the impact, the positive impact you think could come out of that.
Yeah, we all have to do, you know, something about the imminent crisis that caused by global warming. And I think our city should do its part to like do something before it's too late, you know, do something to challenge, you know, the imminent crisis.
I was wondering, I've seen some other names among people running in the Democratic primary for city council that seem to be thinking along the same wavelength. I take it they're probably folks that you know. And I'm wondering, do you think that is a trend in the city that's going to have an impact on how government is run?
Yeah, I think it is pretty, I've heard it's pretty unprecedented about, you know, the participation happening in our local election. And if like a good portion of, you know, our slate gets elected, that could really drastically change city politics.
And who do you see as the people running right now? Who would you name as the people that you're on the same wavelength with that are part of the slate?
You know, all the people who, you know, participated in these people city council meetings, you know, for example, for Ward 5, there's Megan McDonald. Urbana Ward 6, there's Grace Wilkin, Christopher Hansen for Urbana 2, and Rita Connery for assessor for Champaign, and, you know, Jake Fava for Ward 1, and Jaya for, you know, Ward 4, I think.
Do you think this is the moment, so to speak, for progressive candidates and progressive causes in Urbana? Do you think something can come out of this election?
I would hope so. You know, we just got to keep on trying, you know. Even if this doesn't work out, we'll keep on trying, you know.
Do you think your chances of being elected mayor are strong?
Yeah, there's a possibility. If there wasn't any possibility at all, I wouldn't be doing this. But I think there's a good chance if, like, the community members and the students, you know, come together, there's a really good chance that, you know, I might, you know, have the support. I need to be mayor and elect all these other good candidates.
If elected, would being mayor be a full-time job for you or a part-time one?
It would definitely be a full-time job for me, and I would put all my energy, you know, in communicating with the community and making sure community has their basic needs met.